number 58. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction and fantasy podcast by Jake Jackson. We've just had the news that yet again, we're going into full lockdown. But it does look more hopeful overall. We just have to be patient and resilient. Now we know this can't go on forever. So this week's story is a little more uplifting. It's about time travel and dreams. It's called Tall Trees. I still can't believe they left me here. I know they weren't my real parents and the crew were in a panic, but really, they could have waited. I think they assumed I was delirious, lost. Maybe it was my own fault. I just wasn't myself anymore. I left without a word. We'd arrived 10 weeks before. Most of us slipped out of the cryogenic sleep as our craft arrived at the edges of the system around Proxima Centauri. In the 30 years of Earth time it had taken to travel, each of us had spent no more than 2 years awake on strict rotation. The human crew, with my nominated parents at the helm, had trained for years alongside the other seed ships. The robot flight crew, of course, remained alert throughout. At the turn of the 3,000-year fin de siècle, human technology had begun to match the ambitions and the dreams of governments. The stars were no longer a distant fantasy, but visited regularly and explored for signs of habitation, and the prospect of spreading humanity across the galaxy. The World Council sent out drones to create a vast network of relay communications. Each drone was designed to self-replicate, then project its twin outwards, ever increasing the reach of interstellar contact. Once the fourth wave of drones began to return signals to Earth, the seed ships were sent out into space to 100 destinations. Nobody knew the calculated failure rate, but it was assumed to be high, as all the ships were created with dark matter drives, a new invention which, they said, could recycle dark matter and reduce the weight of fuel throughout the journey. We brought our own atmosphere in sealed vacuums and the means to create a small self-sufficient biosphere for the initial phase of exploration. We had the tools for deep terraforming too, if the planets we found could sustain us. Our destination was the second planet out from Proxima Centauri. Like many other exoplanets, it had been surveyed by the drones, their data analysed and reviewed for years before it had been declared as a candidate for occupation. "Come on, sleepyhead," my father hailed me from outside the night pod. I was old enough to be in charge of the drilling rig, but young enough, apparently, to be hauled from sleep like a recalcitrant teenager. "Okay, okay, I still have 5 minutes," I shouted back as I slowly put on my boots and creaked my aching shoulder. Mike was his real name, but he insisted on being called Marvell. Some personal joke, I suppose, but I never got it, and certainly we didn't ever hit off. He always harassed me, didn't like me spending any time on my own, always insisted on strict meal and sleep times. I suppose he was the captain, but he didn't seem to treat the others the same. "He does." The robot that accompanied my every movement spoke for the first time that day. "What?" "Speak to everyone, the same." "Well, I don't see it." "He doesn't care. He just has to make sure the mission is successful." "Well, if he wants the best out of people, he should learn to speak to them properly." "It's not necessary. The biosphere has been successful. He will need you and the other human replicators to be successful too." I hate that phrase. "But that's why the younger humans have been selected." "I know, but it makes me nervous." "There is no need. All the parameters have been calculated. There is a 95% likelihood of all replicators producing new humans on this planet." "Yuck. I don't understand. I just don't like the idea." "It's not an idea. It's your purpose here. There are 14 of you, 7 pairs, and only one pair is necessary for success." "Yes, yes, but I've been having these dreams." "That's the first time you've mentioned them." "It's the first time I've felt like it." "Does it impair your ability to perform your primary functions?" The robot now seemed scripted. I became wary, knowing this could lead to incarceration. No, no, not at all. Let's go. I was ready to leave. What are the dreams about? The robot persisted. Tall trees, very tall trees. I peeled back the plastic shield and stepped out. Ah. The robot followed, apparently satisfied by the banality of my answer. In truth, I'd been dreaming of the trees since we arrived on this planet, but as with every action here, it was important to conform at all times. But I was troubled by the relentlessness of them in my nighttime release. Morning. I nodded to the other replicators, each of whom emerged from the night pods at the same time, and we swapped the meaningful glances of co-conspirators. But I knew I was the only one with the dreams. They all seemed so content to go to work in the mornings. As always, we spent the day preparing the ground for plantation. We were close to finishing, and the final soil analysis would be prepared in the next few days. The hope was that we would be ready to put the seeds of Earth into the new soil of the planet, and the dreams of our species could spread their wings across this part of the universe. But over the next few weeks, we tried and failed to make the soil good. And at night I tried and failed to stop dreaming of the tall trees. The captain and the senior crew had become agitated, and they noticed I started to leave my night pod in the mornings a little later than usual, awakening last, and I was a few steps out of time, out of sync with the rest of my fellow replicators. One morning, I saw the tall trees through the round port of my night pod. Oh! I tried to blink away the sight. What is wrong? The robot tipped its head, looked out of the porthole too. You can't see? I looked at the robot, then back out again, where tall trees waved in the distance, rustled by a gentle breeze, their leaves stroking at the ever-present clouds on the planet. Wait, the robot stood up and strode to the door. I left my leg stretched out and it tripped, crashing to the floor. Alert now, I listened for other sounds outside, picked up my rucksack and slipped out of my night pod. I had no doubts. I ran to the edge of the biosphere, ignoring the shouts behind me, and without suiting up with the oxygen kit, I burst into the sparse air of the planet and made for the tall trees I could see with increasing clarity. I didn't stop running until I came under the shadow of the trees, the morning light of Proxima Centauri cast between their limbs. I turned and saw the biosphere had collapsed, and the crew struggling into the airlock of our seed ship. Within moments, the ground shook as the craft erupted vertically into flight, a fast jet of smoke thrusting it upwards until it disappeared above the clouds. 10 weeks of work abandoned so easily. I turned back and looked up at what I had thought were tall trees, to see a spindly hand reaching down, 3 fingers and a long thumb, like branches outstretched. Welcome to our world, stranger. A voice, faint, like a breeze drifted across my mind. We're sorry the others left so abruptly. Perhaps they could not see us. Now I was so close, I understood my mistake. These huge, slender creatures walked slowly, a majestic procession. With their shoulders touching the clouds, they appeared very much like the trees in old paintings of Earth. Please, join us. The voices rustled around me. In time, you will become like us. I looked down and saw, already, I was taller than I remembered. And I smiled. I'm quite drawn to the dark and the weird. I think partly because it allows us to explore ourselves and the world around us in quite a different sort of way by looking at it from the outside. I really enjoy looking at the otherworldly, and partly as a reflection of ourselves and our thoughts, where we've come from, where we're going. So this story is part of that, how we make connections with other people, other types of people. And we don't have to fear difference. We can engage with it and learn from it, enjoy its difference for its own sake. It will give us new ways of thinking about our own lives, while we escape from it into dreams and memory, into the imagination. That's it for this week. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. This is Jake Jackson. See you next time. Goodbye.